If you had the opportunity to go out in your community, whether you live here in Waverly or somewhere else, and ask random number of people, let's say you were to go and ask 50 people, 100 people, what would you say is the ideal woman? How would you describe that individual? I dare say that you would get a host of different opinions and different answers, depending on whether the individual is a man or woman. Some would say, well, the ideal woman is a very beautiful lady. And they would begin to describe the physical beauty of this individual. And in their minds, this is the ideal woman. Her beauty is based upon that physical attractiveness that she has. You might ask someone else and they would say, no, a beautiful woman is a woman that is very smart, very sharp. She's academically achieved a great deal. She is an individual that has a tremendous amount of intellect about her. And I love that because it challenges me. That may be what that individual says. Somebody else say, now, I love an individual, a woman that has a great deal of wit and humor, love for life. And then you might find people that combine those different ones. If you were to encounter maybe what typically used to be called a male chauvinist, that individual would say, well, I think that the ideal woman is the individual that does everything I want, waits on me hand and foot, literally worships the ground I walk on. And some of you women are thinking, good luck for that one. And then if you encounter a woman that would typically today, in today's culture, be called a feminist or maybe even a neo-feminist, she might say, no, the ideal woman is a woman that can do the work of two men. And if we had enough of those type of women in politics, we would have already taken care of the wars in the world, and we'd already taken care of the problem with poverty and hunger in our society. We just need more of those kind of women. What does God say? If you could ask God, God, how would you describe the ideal woman? What would He say? Believe it or not, He's already given us the answer. And Vance read a portion of that this morning from Proverbs chapter 31. Now, I realize Proverbs 31, if you look at the context, it is actually a mother giving advice to her son who is a king or will become a king. Probably the advice is given while he is a younger man. And you have to start back at the beginning of the chapter and read through. And she has several things to say to him. But verses 10 through 31 is the way she describes the individual that he should be looking for as someone that he would want as a companion, a mate, a wife, a partner for life. Now that being said, I want to give you two facts of note, two things, because I realize that the audience I'm speaking to this morning, and there was another preacher friend of mine that brought this out, and I know he's right, that some of you are not mothers yet. And so to preach a Mother's Day sermon, you would say, now that does not apply to me. And you men might be saying, well, that doesn't apply to me either. So what am I going to get out of this? And some of you, and some of those that are listening to this this morning, have either never married or really don't have intentions to marry in their lifetime. I had two great aunts that never married but were godly women and encouraged me in serving the Lord. Becky and I know two wonderful ladies from where I used to preach, sisters, and my two aunts were sisters, by the way, also, but sisters who always said, if the right man comes along, then we will marry, but we will not settle for anyone that is not a godly individual. And so they have never married, but they have gone on to do great things in the church for God. So I understand that there are some that may never marry. And some of you, as you sit here listening to me this morning, you are single individuals, and I understand that. But there is nothing in Scripture to say that you cannot fulfill your role as a single woman serving God in that role. I know that God teaches in His Word that marriage is an honorable estate. It is an honorable relationship. And it is between a man and a woman. And it is something that gives us a picture of what God has designed for the home. But there is also great honor placed upon the single. Because if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, one of the things that Paul brings out in that chapter is that there are some things that a single person can do that a married person cannot do. Because as he points out, a married person is concerned about the things of his family. His wife, and the needs of his family. A woman, her children, and the needs of her husband. Don't ever let anyone ever make you feel like a second-class person if you choose not to marry, but to serve God in that estate. The second thing I want to say to you, and this is targeted at our young men who have not yet married, but one day will contemplate marriage. It is something that Solomon brings out in the book of Proverbs. It's simply this. Men, the wrong kind of woman will ruin you. Let me say that again. The wrong kind of woman will ruin you. Because if you look through the book of Proverbs, specifically chapter 6 and 7, and chapter 7 is dealing with a woman who's married but is not faithful to her husband in the home, there are some things that the wrong kind of woman will do. First of all, if you marry the wrong kind of woman, she's going to be unfaithful to you. She's not going to be faithful as your wife. Not only that, instead of strengthening your house, what she will end up doing is tearing down your home. In Proverbs 14, verse 1, Solomon says that the wise woman builds her house, but he also says that the foolish one tears it down with her hands. The wrong kind of woman will neglect your family. You won't be able to trust her to run your home, and your children will not be kept under control. They will not be guided in the way they should go. Not only that, she will bankrupt you financially because she will spend the hard-earned money that you have on frivolous things that do not add to the benefit of the home. She will ruin your reputation. The wrong kind of woman. And you will be so busy trying to please her that what you will find is that you have little time for what God actually calls you to do or calls you to be. You will be constantly fighting those domestic fires. She'll wear you out. Solomon put it this way in Proverbs 27, verses 15 and 16. He says, "A constant dripping on a day of steady rain and a contentious woman are alike. He who would restrain her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand." And the Scripture is full of individuals like that. I know Samson was never married to Delilah, but she was the wrong kind of woman and she brought about his downfall. We can look at men like others, Job's wife, Jezebel, Michael, the first wife of David, Solomon's foreign wives. You can just add to it as you go through and you find that there were individuals that were not good for the people that married them. Now, all of that being said, I want to spend the rest of this time on a positive note because I want to look at this individual that God praises through the words of King Lemuel's mother. And there are three things, first of all, that I want you to notice about who she is and what she is. First of all, she is a person of great value. The first thing you encounter in verse 10 is this: a virtuous woman. Depending on your translation, an excellent wife, or a wife of noble character. And then he says, who can find? Her price is far above rubies or jewels. Several things are brought out in that verse. He tells us that such an individual, men, is not easy to find. We live in a world that's a little over 7 billion in population right now. And looking at the World Bank, this is not a financial institution, it is a place that keeps up with statistics and numbers and all of that. 49.6% of our world's population are women. So that means just a little under 3.5 billion people are women. What Solomon says is finding the excellent woman, finding that virtuous individual is difficult. Why? Because this individual is an individual that honors God. And he even goes on to tell us, man, that her price is far above rubies. She is worth a tremendous amount. You can't place a value upon a good wife. There is no financial figure that you can put upon that. She has tremendous value. And we see that as we began to experience that. One of the things that Solomon said in Proverbs 19, verse 14, is this. He says, house and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. She comes from God. The beautiful thing about such a woman, men, Solomon says you'll always be able to trust her. Not only that, your life will be financially blessed because she will manage the house in such a way that you don't have to worry about your household finances. She will support, she will encourage you, verse 12, all the days of your life. Now the question is, men, how do you treat a woman like that? How do you treat someone that you consider valuable? And I'm going to diverge for just a moment because I know a lot of those in this audience are hunters and fishermen and things of that nature. Do you take your most prized fishing rod and just throw it in the lake? No. You'd think you were crazy if somebody did that. Would you take your best set of golf clubs and just go up here to the country club and just toss them in the water? No. Would you take that boat that you've saved for and been paying on for who knows how long and just destroy it, mistreat it? No. You see, things that we prize in a material way, we tend to take care of, don't we? We polish our guns. We put them in a gun cabinet. We make sure they're well cared for. We don't want any rust in that barrel. We want to make sure that nobody knocks it over and knocks the scope out of alignment. We want to make sure that our fishing rods are well oiled, that we've got new line on them. We take care of things that we prize. Our wives, these virtuous women, these women of excellence, are things that we prize. And because of that, we treat them in that way. Because she is a person of noble character. She is a person of excellence. She is a person of virtue. And if you find someone like that, you better hold on. Because they are hard to find. They're far and few between. There are a lot of women in the world, but the good ones, the ones that are worth their value, don't come along all the time. And ladies, that being said, what that says to me is, and what I hope that you're hearing from this is the person you want to strive to be, because the individual that God is preparing for you should treat you in a way that is worthy of who you are. Men, whether you are a father or a brother or a boyfriend, or a fiancé, how you treat this woman says a tremendous amount about who you are as an individual. How we treat our mothers, how we treat our sisters, how we treat these women says a lot about us as well. And Peter reminds us that we are to show honor to our wives because they're worthy of that. Because they are, as he says, they are heirs of eternal life just as we are. And ladies, young ladies, if you're dating a young man and he doesn't treat you this way, he doesn't treat you as someone of value, as someone of excellence, and if he doesn't treat you this while he's dating you, he certainly will not treat you this way once he marries you, then you need to move on. He's not worth your time. He's not worth your effort and your energy. You find someone that God will use in your life to make your life all that God wants it to be. So, first of all, these women are women of great value. But secondly, they're women of vigor. If you look at what King Lemuel's wife says about this individual, she's an individual that doesn't sit around waiting for things to happen. She's an individual that pretty much takes charge and moves on. She uses her time effectively. In verse 16, he says that she arises while it's still night, gives food to her household, portions to her maiden. He says in verse 18, her lamp does not go out at night. She enjoys being busy. She is an individual that works with her hands in delight. She is one who, as he says in verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Someone said that the most demanding career in the world is that of a mother and wife. And I believe that to be true. Because of all of the qualities they have to possess and all of the responsibilities that are laid upon their shoulders, it's a special individual that can fulfill that in a way that honors God. But she is someone also that takes a great delight in her career. She is not, as we used to hear, barefoot and pregnant. This individual that he is describing is someone, as he goes on and tells us about what she does, she is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar, verse 14. Not only that, he tells us that she is one who girds herself with strength and makes her arm strong, verse 17. He tells us that she is an individual that goes out, buys a field. All of these different things she does. Using her own money, buying a field, making a profit from that. She sells clothing, garments, verse 24, linen garments, and makes them belts to the tradesmen. These are the things that she does. And I know that one thing I'm about to say is not politically correct in our culture today, but it is God's design. Ladies, your primary responsibility, your first commitment in your life to your home. That's God's design. Whether you look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, or whether you look at Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, your first commitment is to your home. And if you've taken care of your home, then what you do outside the home to add to the family income, to help with the family, that's just a bonus. But first and foremost, your commitment. This is God saying this. Your commitment is to your home and to your children and to your husband. That's the first thing. This woman has made that commitment. So she is a woman of vigor. But the third thing he tells us is this. And there's so many other things, but these three I want us to hear today. Value, vigor, and then finally, virtue. She is a woman of great virtue. What he says in verse 30 is this. Charm, I love what Vance's translation said, charm is deceptive. New American Standard says charm is deceitful. And beauty is vain. One translation says beauty is fading. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The world measures a woman and her worth by how nice does she look. Physically, how attractive is she? And yet, what King Lemuel's mother, a woman, says about the beauty of a woman and about what is really attractive in a woman, and women ought to know this, is this. She says, charm is deceitful. There are flirtatious women that can draw a man's attention in no time, and they can get him to do whatever they want him to do, but what she's saying is that's deceitful. Because once she's got you, she will no longer want to charm you, or she may want to move on to the next one that she can charm. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. All of us who are older understand that beauty doesn't last. Doesn't matter how many procedures we may have done at the doctor's office to try to tighten the skin and make us still have that youthful look about us. Eventually, years take their toll upon us. And if we're marrying, guys, if you're looking for a woman, we're drawn to women because of their beauty. That's the way God designed it. That's the way He created us as men, to notice her attractiveness, to notice her physical beauty. But that isn't where it stops, and that should not be where it stops. And if that is the only thing that attracts you to a woman, you need to back up and ask God to help you look deeper into that individual. You need to be able to see what God wants you to see. Does she fear the Lord? Is that virtue there? Is she an individual, as we see already described in this passage of Proverbs, that has other things about her? That inner beauty, while the outward beauty fades, that inner beauty just grows over time as she becomes more godlike in her character. Her love of God shines forth more brightly. But her virtue is seen in the compassion she shows. Verse 20 says, she extends her hand to the poor and stretches out her hands to the needy. It is seen in the character that she has in her own life. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing. She smiles at the future. It is seen in the counsel that she gives. Verse 26 tells us that she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This is a woman of virtue, because she is a God-fearing woman who loves to do what God wants her to do. And men, there again, if you find such an individual, you have found a gem. Do not let her go. It may mean you have to improve upon you, but you definitely don't want to let her go if you can help it. You want to be a person that God can use to enhance her beauty even more and to help her grow in her love for the Lord. Now, all of that being said, what do these type of women deserve from us? There are some things they deserve. They deserve our praise, primarily. Why? Because God commands it. Let her works, notice the last verse, let her works praise her in the gates. Four verses before that, verse 28, what was read for us just a moment ago by Vance. He tells us there that her children rise up and bless her, and her husband also praises her. And what her husband says about her is, many daughters have done nobly, but you have excelled them all. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13, verse 7, he says, render to all what is due them. And then later in that verse, he says, honor to whom honor. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 tells us as men that we are to honor our wives. Honor these women. In Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, he says there, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you were also doing. You know, it feels good, and it is good, to be able to encourage someone. And men, if you encourage your wife, you know what you're really investing in? You're investing in your own self. Because when you praise the woman that you chose to be your wife for the rest of your life, you're saying, I made a good choice. I love this person that I'm beside. And I thank God for all He's done for her in my life. And I am blessed to have her in my life. On the other hand, if you run her down and you criticize her, you know who you're really criticizing? You're criticizing yourself, because it's your choice. You're the one that chose her. You're the one that said, I want to marry you. You're the one that said, I love you and I want you to be my wife. And you're saying, I can't choose. I don't know how to choose. There are some people that just don't like to praise other people, aren't there? And those people, I'm sorry, I believe that they're filled with bitterness of heart and sickness of soul. The person of God is an individual who, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, is an individual who looks for the things that are excellent and the things that are worthy of praise. And men, and all of us, when we see a godly woman, the ideal woman that God describes, we praise her, we encourage her, we give her honor. We do it because God commands it, but we also do it because it honors God. Remember I said that when we are sarcastic, when we say something that disparaging about our wives, what it really says is that we've made a poor choice, that we didn't do well ourselves. What does it say about you when somebody comes to you and says, boy, your wife is she's such a fantastic person? And there are those of you that have come to me and praised my wife. You know what that says to me? Oh, thank you. I didn't do good, didn't I? And I agree, I did good. Thank you for those compliments. But even more, you know what it says? Is that we honor God, because we're praising God for something He created. We're praising God for something He has a hand in making. Our wives, the women in our lives, our mothers, our sisters. praising God because He has given them to us. We should praise, we should honor God by praising these women. And then we need to praise Him not only because God commanded and because it honors Him, but also because it just strengthens these godly women in our lives. You know, all around us, there are temptations. Satan has designed temptations to lure us away, to draw us away from doing His will. And you can beat a person down enough to where that person will finally just decide, it's not worth it. I have had enough. I don't want any more of this. But if we will praise these godly women, what it does is it strengthens them. It encourages them. All of us need encouragement from time to time, don't we? And we need to hear a brother or a sister in Christ who will say to us, you're doing a great job. I'm thankful for what you've done. I'm proud of who you are. I appreciate the choices that you're making to do God's will and to honor Him. And when you praise a godly woman in your life, what you are doing is you are strengthening that woman in her walk with Christ. And men and mothers and young ladies, and all of us, that's the best thing we can do for the godly women of this church, is to praise them and to encourage them and to strengthen them in their service in the Lord so that these women will go on to do great things in His service. As I said, I try not to focus primarily on mothers. I wanted to focus upon women today because that hits all of you ladies. But it also hits us men in the way we treat you and the way we respond to you. This morning, you may be a lady sitting here today who's never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have to be honest with you and tell you that there is sin in your life right now that separates you from God. And He has done something about that. He has sent His Son to die for you, to take your sin upon Himself, so that you don't have to have that burden upon you anymore. That sin can be taken away. But what God requires of you is that you be willing to believe in His Son, that His Son is your Savior, and that you be willing to confess that, turning away from that sin, and that you be buried with Him in baptism so that He can take that sin away. There are men here today who have not obeyed the gospel. And I know there are mothers that have prayed for you for as long as they can remember that one day you might come home. There are people in this audience that have worn the name of Christ but have wandered away. And there are mothers that have prayed that one day you would come back. Why not make that today? You know, there's no greater honor that you can pay to your mother than by demonstrating to her that all those years of encouraging you and being faithful before you and trying to pray for you and teach you has paid off. Today is the day, and I want to honor my mother by giving my life to Jesus Christ. I want to honor God, first of all. What about you? We're going to stand and sing. There may be a mother seated beside you that wants to see you respond today. Will you do that? Will you honor God with your life? If so, won't you come as together we stand and sing? Mm-hmm.